Give Cammy Campbell 60 minutes on a Sunday morning from 11 a.m. and he'll give you the local stories that matter and the opportunity to use the platform to voice your opinion to listeners across the northeast of Scotland. Has something happened that's left you speechless, annoyed, upset or angry? The North Sound 2 Talk-In. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland.
Good morning and welcome to the North Sound 2 Talk-In. After a wee excursion down to Blackpool, we're all back refreshed and ready to go. Over the next 60 minutes, we will discuss the local stories that matter this week and the issues that are important to you. And as ever, anything can happen before midday. It's your opportunity to voice your opinion on air to the listeners across the northeast of Scotland. Has something happened that has left you speechless, annoyed you, upset you, made you angry, like Grant is about the fuel, and he's just seething? Maybe you have something you want to celebrate, and you have some good news to share. That would be very welcome. We're in the studio. Grant on the text, as always. He texts us on 61025. Prefix your text message with Cammy, spelled C-A-M-M-Y. You can call 01224 401035, and you will notice that John's voice has changed ever so slightly. That's because John is now called Alisa. Alisa joins us for 2 weeks answering the phones. You can email Cammy at northsound2.com. Or you can tweet us on Cammy 1035. Before we get started, we have to tell you a few rules. The Talk-In has a set of rules which relate to elections, and this has to start today and carries on throughout April to the first week of May. The media regulator Ofcom states that we must remain totally impartial at all times, but this is especially important during the election periods. So, with that in mind, if you're a candidate in the upcoming local elections for the Aberdeen City and Shire in May, I would ask you to refrain from bringing the Talk-In until after the election period is over. Failing that, there's plenty for everybody else to have a go at. As I said, Grant is absolutely seething at the moment, but we'll get to his little party piece in a moment. First of all, an Aberdeen bus strike is looking more likely. Unite say their members who work for First have voted overwhelmingly in favour of a ballot on industrial action. The row over new split shifts, which are due to be brought in this weekend. The union says it's willing to go to talks with ACAS to resolve the dispute before they ask their members if they want to walk out. Mike Flynn is from Unite, the union.
The ballot that we held the other day is what we call a consultative ballot. It's there to gauge the feelings of the workforce and the drivers concerned. As from Sunday, the 1st of April, they're imposing a new split shift at a weekend. We never had split shifts at weekends. They've always been Monday to Friday. And they're asking for volunteers to do it, but it will affect the rest of the drivers because they'll take early shifts from the normal sheets and make them up into split shifts for the weekend. They've also broken a bargaining agreement that we have with management, and management have turned their back on that agreement and are going ahead and imposing these new duty sheets from the 1st of April. The ballot was consultative to see whether they wish to go down the path of industrial action, and overwhelmingly that is the case. They will wish to do that. We're a long way off from any form of industrial action, may I add. We're still negotiating with management and we will continue doing that. But this is just a process we go through. The next stage from this would be go back to management and again negotiate. And if we don't get any firm ground, or basically if the management refuse to uphold the agreements that we have, then we could go the course of doing a national ballot, which is organised by a separate company, and that comes through the post to the drivers. We personally don't see it being much of a saving, but it's a detriment to the drivers and their earning capacities. It also means that split shifts means drivers are driving longer hours. They're averaging 57 hours a week. The drivers at the moment are averaging about 38 to 45 hours a week. So there's a big difference. We've got concerns about fatigue with the heavy workload a driver will have. Yeah, I have been in contact with Dave Stewart, the interim managing director. I'll be meeting him next Monday along with my team and Duncan Cameron, who's the operations director, and we'll continue our talks.
Okay, there you go. That's the the Unite representative, Mike Flynn. Obviously, the people we want to hear for is the bus drivers. What's it all about, guys? What's your thoughts on the matter? And members of the public, is this going to be a big sufferance? What happens if the buses do go on strike? On line one, John, how are you? Hello, John. Oh, we've upset John already. I haven't even spoken to him. Ah, well, we'll see if he's still there. Right, RoadSense say they will keep fighting the Aberdeen bypass. Now, this is one of the long sagas. If they can raise £100,000 in the next few days. It's understood the campaign group is asking for £2,500 for each of it, from each of its 40 members. The money would pay to take their case to the Supreme Court in London. It was given the green light by ministers back in 2009 and, well, nothing much has happened, although it has cost a considerable amount of money and nothing has happened yet. A new appeal could delay the building of the road for years to come. Henry Irvin Fortescue is a member of RoadSense.
We are disappointed not to have won at the, in the outer courts of session. But we do believe that there are still fundamental injustices in the way that the decision-making process was followed through. And we're currently exploring the ways forward, both with our legal team and seeking a mandate from our supporters and trying to find out what they want. On the advice from our legal team, there's still a case to be answered. And if there is an opportunity to take that forward, then we have to explore all the possibilities. That is simply where we are at the moment. And a decision will be taken in the near future because there is a deadline for this particular process. In order to go forward to the Supreme Court, papers have to be lodged within a week or 10 days. So that is our fairly tight deadline at this stage. I think it's fair to say that the court judgment wasn't what we were looking for. On the other hand, having emailed our supporters, a number have fallen away due to a seven-year war of attrition, and the government and Transport Sovereign have all the money and all the opportunities and all the consultants, and we're simply members of the public who want to see justice. So I think we've done extremely well to have got this far in our campaign, and the next few days will make the way forward clearer for us.
There you go. Henry Irvine Fortescue putting his case forward on behalf of the members of RoadSense. What do you think? This has gone on. At the last hearing, three judges advised RoadSense that possibly there wasn't really a case to continue with. However, RoadSense feel, as is their right, that they should take it to a higher court. And it is the Supreme Court of London they will go to if they can gather the support of £2,500 from each of their 40 members. What do you think? Give us a call, 01224 401035. Or you can text us, say 61025. Prefix your text message with Cammy, C-A-M-M-Y, at cammy@northsound2.com if you wish to do it via the email. Or we're on Twitter with Cammy1035. It's the North Sound Talk-In. And John, apparently, is not John. John's called Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, good morning.
Now, at the moment, Grant is through beating up Elisa and telling her that she's got to get the names right. Her only excuse is, all I can say is she's blonde, okay?
I'll give her a chance,
We'd love to give her a chance, but, you know, what can I say? Okay, Patrick, sorry about that. Carry on. Union Terrace closure. What's this about,
Nelson? Yeah, I mean, I would honestly like to ask our councillors, whoever takes the decision on matters like this, what on earth possesses them to close off a main road in Aberdeen, when there isn't that many main roads in Aberdeen anyway, for the sake of an international market, when initially they said that the Castle Gate was for venues like that. You've got the Green, or it was the Green at one time for venues like that. You've got the beach for venues like that. You've got some of the side streets where you could use for the international market. Why close off a main road? I mean, I just can't see the sense in that.
I seem to recall there was a debate about this, because you're right, it was at the Castle Gate at one point, wasn't there?
Well, the excuse was, as far as I recall, when they pedestrianised the Castle Gate, basically closed off the road connecting to the roundabout, they used the excuse that that was for venues so that they can have things like, you know, bands and, you know, those sort of functions over there. That was the excuse they used for that reasoning behind it. And they don't seem to be doing the things that they should be doing. Like, the international market should be at the Castle Gate. Now, I heard somewhere, I don't know whether it's true or not, that apparently the international marketeers didn't want to do it on the Castle Gate because they didn't think it would generate enough business for them. Well, all I have to say to the international marketeers, if you don't want to do it at the Castle Gate, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's forcing you. I mean, at the end of the day, we have a main road that's closed off. It caused chaos yesterday on the road. I mean, literally chaos. Queues from one end of Union Street to the other.
Yes.
I'm sure these councillors sitting in their offices in the little ivory towers must look down and laugh. Because at the end of the day, that seems to me that that's what they're doing.
Without wishing to be...
pedantic.
Without wishing to be flippant about it, they weren't sitting in their ivory towers last time because they had a water leak and they all got bailed out of the place.
Yeah.
See what they did there? Bailed out what? Oh, never mind. Okay, you missed that.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, no, but I do think the situation was instigated by the international market because I think you're right. They did feel that they were rather remote down there, and I think it may have been the reason why it was at Union Terrace.
Well, the thing is, we have a council elected by us to do what we want them to do, not what international marketees want them to do, and vice versa, same as a driver turning around to the council and saying, no, I'm not paying my fine. And the council saying, well, okay, then you can park there for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't give in. You've got a rule, you've got to stick to it. And if you don't stick to it, then you might as well forget all the other rules and throw away the rule book. That seems to be happening with the council whenever it suits them. They just throw away the rule book and make the rules as they go along. And just one other point, just before I come off the phone.
Yes, quite all right.
Was regarding this bypass.
The bypass.
Yeah. Other countries seem to think about their infrastructure before they think about building businesses, industries, God knows what else that goes in place.
Yeah.
This country seems to be backwards. They seem to want to go and build the houses, build the industry, build the businesses, and then they think, oh, hang on, what are we going to do about the traffic? At the end of the day, we need the bypass. The bypass is 30 plus years overdue, and all these people hyping on about they shouldn't be there and shouldn't be here, at the end of the day, it's needed. It's something that the region needs, and it should be got. You know, there's no two ways about it. We need it.
Yes, but
you just cannot go and build houses and then expect people to use the same roads. I mean, if you have 2,000 houses in a place, brand new houses, you're going to generate at least 2,000 more cars, maybe more. You know, and you've got to think about moving them.
It's funny you should say that because that's an opinion shared by many, many people. Mm. And the other side of the coin as well is the cost that has been incurred just by having the idea of the bypass and not one stick has been laid, so to speak. And as you say, this was first mooted. I sometimes wonder, though, I had a discussion with someone about, you know, different infrastructures. We were talking about Japan, China, that, you know, road works.
They're good examples.
Oh, I know what it was. A quick aside story. I took John McCroovy home and we got stuck in a traffic jam and he was going absolutely nuts. He's such a bad-tempered old grouchy man, that, you know?
I can't blame him, though.
And the conversation was struck up by the fact that, you know, we had this road under roadworks. There was no work being done because it was the weekend and all the rest of it. One of the guys commented the fact that if that was Japan or China, there would be have a lorry going out front laying down the cones. There would be a trucks and a squad coming in behind it, dig a hole, fill a hole, dig a hole, fill the hole. And then there would be a truck coming up, picking up the cones, and it would be done in hours. And a description was there was an earthquake on a flyover, which caused big damage, and it was done within 48 hours. I mean, completely repaired, you know? Now, it seems to be that I wonder if our country is suffering from the fact that we have had an infrastructure which goes back from the year dot, where many countries have developed themselves with new housing areas, and they have put infrastructure in first, you know?
Well, I mean, you only have to look at Germany. The Marshall Plan, after the Second World War, the first thing the Germans did was think about the infrastructure.
Yes.
That included trams, trains, and all other sorts of transport. We were getting rid of our trams at the very same time Germany was actually rebuilding them. You know, we just seem to be going backwards in time. I don't know. This country, to me, at the moment, seems unrecognizable because if I go back to the 60s, 70s, when there were roadworks in any particular part of town, especially if it was a major road, there would only be roadworks on that one major road. You wouldn't get roadworks at one end of it, roadworks at the other end of it, and then a peripheral route, which people are using to bypass that one, you wouldn't get roadworks on that one because it was just controlled a lot better than it is today. Today, people just seem to apply to dig up the road, and the council just say, yeah, go ahead, without thinking about the consequences.
Yeah.
They talk about generating business and keeping finances in Aberdeen. One of the quickest ways of losing it is to force the traffic out of Aberdeen, and that's what they're doing with all the roadworks all round. The shops aren't getting the businesses, and the ones that do get the businesses are having to put up with the congestion. It just seems to be a backwards way of looking at things, and it has been going on for the last 20 years in Aberdeen. I don't think it'll change unless we get councillors that really start to look at things properly instead of just look at the bottom line. That's what they're doing. They look at the bottom line, how much they can save, and at the end of the day, it doesn't solve the problem. It actually creates more problems. And at the end of the day, it costs more. They don't seem to look at that.
Patrick, very, very valid points. I appreciate you coming to talk, and thanks for your opinion. We appreciate them.
Thank you.
And we'll make sure you call Patrick next time as well, OK?
Yeah. I'll remind
or you might, she might change it to Michael or Jeremiah or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I'll make it awkward.
See, this fashion thing, you know, if you've got a woman in control, she's all fashionable and just changes things.
It's not her fault.
Yes,
it
is.
I told you when I rang anyway.
Believe you me, it is. OK, Patrick, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
OK, we've been talking about the buses. We've been talking about RoadSense taking the fight to the Supreme Court of London. What do you think about the whole thing? 01224 401035. Speak to Lisa. Make sure you tell her the name. You can text us on 61025. Prefix your text message with Cammy. It's Cammy at northsound2.com. You can tweet us in Cammy1035. It's a talk-in on Sunday. You're more than welcome to have your opinion. More opinions from Raymond after the break.
The North Sound 2 talk-in. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland.
It's North Sound 2, it's a talk-in. Welcome along. Raymond, hello, how are you?
How are you doing, Tommy?
Well, I'm getting some stick here. Apparently there's a new topic, right? We're having a... contrary to what people think, I actually put a lot of prep into this show because I have to. But apparently there is a new topic. It is about... Where is it? Where the heck is it? Oh, aye. No, hold on, here it is. Apparently someone called Elisa is wanting to talk about bullying in the workplace.
All right, okay.
Just because she gets names wrong. No sense of humour, that woman, is she? Raymond, what were you going to talk about, my friend?
A bypass, man.
Uh-oh. Come on, then.
I'm actually phoning for you, I'm sure. I'm sitting in a crane here, listening to the radio, and it came on, right?
Haddo, whoa. You're offshore.
Aye.
On a crane.
Aye.
Listening to me.
Correct.
I hope you're concentrating what you're doing in the crane, boy.
I'm sending nannies now, but somebody wants to make a deal with. So
oh,
never mind.
See, okay. So you, this is your preparation, is it?
Aye.
Okay, listen to me.
Now, last time I seen you was at Lee's wedding.
Oh, blimey. That was a while ago.
Aye. Remember Stuart, I used to teach him fib about washy.
Aye, yeah. Come on in, Raymond. I've got you now.
Yes, good
now,
man.
Now, my friend. You bear in mind this is April the 1st, and if you're on to wind me up, I am going to do you from a great height.
No, I'm up a great height in a crane, mate.
Okay, let's go then. Come on in.
Right. A bypass, what a waste of money. We need it. We need it. Mm-hmm. I'm fed up this road wise. Again, it costs us tax money and all, and I want more money for people. They should be due to pay all the money that it's costing the government and Aberdeen Council.
Well, the RoadSense guys have the right, as anybody else does, to object to a situation. And the money that they're hoping to raise is coming from their actual membership, Raymond. But I take your point. They've had an appeal. They've had a second appeal. This is a third appeal going. And the last appeal, it has to be noted that the three judges did indicate that maybe... You know, it was not a worthwhile appealing again, and they advised them against it. Now, these guys obviously have strength of conviction, and the guy, Henry, he came on, and as you heard him, he put forward his case. But again, Patrick, he pointed out the fact that 30 years ago we needed it, and you have rightly pointed out it's cost an absolute... And we're not talking a couple of thousand of pounds here, we're talking millions here, and it hasn't been started yet, has it?
That's right. As I want to say there, I've lost it. 90% of the people in Aberdeen want it.
I think that's fair. I think you would also get the vote from people outside Aberdeen who have goods and services coming in. And I mean, let's face it, the oil guys, I mean, they're carting a heap of stuff into Peterhead, into Aberdeen to go offshore, you know? So.
Well, I see a lot of it's passing Bridget Dunn for you, Biden,
yeah.
It's not real going down the Ellen Road. It's the amount of traffic is not real.
Well, yes, and again, going back to what Patrick was saying, congestion up a main artery like Union Terrace, it just feeds back. And the city itself seems to be very susceptible to getting clogged up, you know. And again, you know, we're down in Blackpool last weekend, and we're talking to people there. So some people who stay, you know, around that area, and they talk about 45 minutes, an hour and a half to get to work and things like that. Now, okay, sometimes it's not that here, but on occasions, you're hitting that sort of times to get there as well. So so you reckon a case of time to just stop it, get the thing going?
Correct. Anyway, Tommy, I'm going to have to cut you short, mate, because I'm going to work.
You're going to work?
I have to work sometimes, yes, mate.
What a thing to do on a Sunday afternoon, eh?
Aye.
Raymond, nice talking to you. Thanks for phoning the talk in. You take it easy, man.
You too. Catch you again, mate.
Catch you again, Raymond. Ta-ra.
Bye.
There you go. That's Raymond in a rig on a crane listening to talking. Gee, that's the things you should do. Dave, how are you?
Hey, bud, call me yourself.
I'm okay.
Listen, it's just really nice to hear a man sitting out there brucking sweat like I used to do. That's exactly the job I used to do. And I mean, honestly, you've got to turn the heater down now and again.
I'm sure Raymond will appreciate that.
I hope he does.
Oh, he's got a sense of humour, Raymond, I'll tell you. It just tickles me pink, you know, you're in the middle of a rig and a crane listening to me, you know.
If
anything's bound to put you off your concentration, it's me warbling on a Sunday, you know.
I used to quite often listen to North Sound if I could catch it on the radio, you know, live, up in the crane. Like, we were away up near the Brentfield up off Shetland. So it just shows you how far it travels across water.
I know, you kind of get rid of me. Right, Dave, Western Peripheral Route, what's your take on it?
Well, it really bugs me, Tommy, how they can take something to a court in England, in London. It has no idea what the infrastructure in Aberdeen is and what the problems are with this handful of people that didn't want this thing to go ahead. I mean, it just beggars belief how an English court can rule on something they've never even seen.
Well, it's part of the legal system, obviously.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's legal. It's got nothing to do with the thing in hand.
It's the legal system that's, you know, is involved in it, and it's the Court of Session is in London. That's the next highest court, and they have to go that way. You know, so it has to go to London. But I mean, obviously, the lawyers will be fighting the case. You know, the case on the basis of the Aberdeen angle, and you know, but it'll be the judges who'll be sitting listening to the legal arguments, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So you know, that's the way that would go. But I take your point. What's your general opinion anyway on it?
I mean, we need it. It's sadly needed. It's not going to help the congestion in the city that much, I don't think. The rush hour problems. But for heavy traffic trying to get through and past Aberdeen, it's going to make an awful difference.
Yeah.
It's just, it's needed. It's been needed for a lot of years now. It's not just in the last sort of couple of years that this has been fought. It's been actually needed for a lot of years now, since the start of the oil industry back in the early 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been sadly needing something like that to bypass Aberdeen.
Isn't it a pity that, you know, in so many respects, Aberdeen hasn't been able to capitalise on the oil industry for Aberdeen's sake, the same way, for example, and they always take Shetland as an example.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Norway have also, you know, taken that as an example.
Yeah.
And the way it goes and the way that people, you know, have benefited and held them to ransom is not the thing to do, but they've negotiated with them for the good of the things, and it seems to be that Aberdeen hasn't managed to create the benefit possibly that they could have.
That's right. Well, it's not just Aberdeen alone, Tommy. It's the whole country. We've had successive governments that have rolled over to the oil companies. I mean, Norway, as far as I remember, they grant you a license to develop a field. And you're allowed so many years to reap as much as you can out that field. And they say, you're right, bugger off, chum, it's my field now. You've had your day. You've recouped your costs and made a profit. And Norway takes it over. You've still got, the company still has shares in the field. Don't get me wrong, they had to give everything off you.
Uh-huh.
But the Norwegian government takes quite a scalp. And there's a contingency fund set aside out of the oil revenue for the good of the people.
Yes.
And this country, all that they've done since the Iron Lady was in, is put people in the brew with the money, you know, the oil revenue. That's what it's done, is kept people in benefit.
Well, that's that is an opinion, you know, and your opinion is there on that, Dave. But I mean, the other side of the coin is it's vast amounts of money, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, well, Aberdeen should have benefited greatly. I mean, there's been a lot of guys made an awful lot of money. I mean, well, Sir Ian Woods, one example, and there's a lot of dark things in the past that I want to bring up that I didn't agree with Ian Wood. Uh-huh. But I mean, there's people made lots and lots of money out of Aberdeen, and the council kind of really looked ahead and said, well, this guy can make a lot of money out of this, so we'll charge him more for... I mean, Ian Wood opened up a lot of ground up in Altons and stuff, building advanced units, you know, factory units and storage units and stuff. Not just Ian Wood, but a lot of them did.
The
ground was probably just about given to them, you know.
Yes, I think you have to... You can't use Ian Wood as the sole person, because, as you rightly say...
He's the one that springs to mind.
Well, no, but you're right. But again, you know, you have to hold Sir Ian Wood up as an example of somebody whose family came from the fishing side of things.
Right,
and they have developed...
He had the foresight to see
Exactly.
He was a very astute man, Ian Wood. They used to make a feel of him in the fishing industry.
Yeah.
But he was a very astute man. He saw if it was coming and fit benefit it could be done for the area.
Yes.
Go to it. I mean, there's no getting away from it. The man, he's a fantastic businessman in that respect. It was the same as the chap up in Ronnie Ferrari and Peter Heed.
Aye.
Had bought out the ground at St Fergus Glass Terminals built on.
Yes.
He was caught out the names because he had the foresight to see if it was coming as well.
Well, that's it, but it's foresight. But you think, you know, wouldn't it have been nice if the cities, the country, the population could have benefited from such foresight. Dave, thanks very much for the opinion. There's a lot more to come on the show. People are on about the Western Peripheral. We also have, and Grant has been jumping up and down, he's going to have his say. He's going to be allowed to have his say on the fuel thing because he's absolutely fuming. You can hear about that in a minute, Dave, after the break.
The North Sound 2 Talking. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland.
Welcome to Talkin'. It's Cammy sitting in the seat, and through in the phones we have Elisa, who's, I think, finally getting the hang of all this, losing names and things. So if you want to say hello to Elisa and leave a message with her. The phone lines are getting a wee bit stocked up. We've got Raymond and Evelyn coming next, but before that, Grant, how's the text doing?
Do you want to do text just now, yep?
Do you want to have your rant first?
I can wait till after the text. Just a few, actually.
It's
not been too busy on the text. Uh-huh. Rosalind's in Peterhead. What? I think this is about the Western Peripheral. Why don't they want it to go ahead? What's the actual reasons? I think this is about the roads.
I think Road Sense feel there's fundamental points of order, legal points of order that have to be addressed. I would also suggest that maybe the actual route of the road has something to do with it. They feel there's points of order that still have to be addressed.
And a good text here from Alan, actually. I work on a Sunday. It takes me 20 minutes to get to work when I'm doing overtime. During the week, my actual job takes me over an hour. Let's get this sorted, please.
That's a fair comment.
Man's got a point.
Okay. I'll start it. It appears that the public are blaming the government for the recent fuel panic buy-in. A poll by Comres for The Independent on Sunday and The Sunday Mirror show 4 out of 5 people think they overreacted to the threat of strike action. At the risk of steam coming out his ears, let off the steam, my friend.
Disagree, sorry, right? But it's your fault for panic buying. There was a guy on Sky News last night who made a fair point. It's everybody that's to blame. If you panic bought fuel, I put my hands up. I did. I went and filled my tank. It's our fault. Yeah. It's not the government's fault. It's our fault.
I'll tell you, what annoyed me was the price went up.
£1.47. I'm sorry, right? But £1.47 for diesel last night. I had to look at the guy. £1.47.
Yeah. I use a van. It costs us around about £100 to fill up, right? It's costing us over 100. That's a lot of money, you know. And I don't know. Anyway, on the petrol, Raymond Clunis. Now, be careful because it is the 1st of April, and Raymond is just might be up for something here. Raymond, how are you?
I'm quite well, actually, Gary.
Good, you're sounding okay, man. Let's hear
it. I was just moving my soapbox.
Yes.
So I could go in.
Okay, come on in.
Yeah, it's about this petrol driver strike.
Yes.
Okay, right, you know, my opinion really, which is the only reason why I'm phoning in, was the politicians are telling people to fill their jerry cans.
Yes.
And they have tanks and that, right? Think about it, if you just sit down and think about a thing, it's all about our corn, but it doesn't matter. But if you're storing jerry cans,
With fuel in it, yes.
With fuel in your sheds and such like, right? Now, if I was to store explosives,
yes,
in my sheds, and then the police and anti-terrorists on me like a ton of bricks.
It is something that I did go through my mind, because I thought that many, many years ago, when there was a fuel situation and there was a fuel shortage or something, and people were stockpiling in jerry cans and containers, was there not some form of you know, warning went out about actually storing fuel for prolonged periods?
Yeah.
You know?
It can get very volatile.
Well, the thing is, Raymond, it seems to be that, you know, it's someone shot somebody in the food. But again, I mean, Grant's got a fair point as well. We all just, you know, there was a goat said something and the sheep followed, and we were just filling up, buying up. It's unbelievable.
The thing is, people that are doing things like this, they're not realising they're putting their neighbours, friends, family in danger.
Well, fair point, but I would hope that if people were storing fuel in jerry cans, that they would be storing it in a responsible area in a responsible way, Raymond. That's all we can say, really, isn't it?
You would think so, but see, that day, what she's saying, again, just to check it, or Francis Maud.
Uh huh.
Right, he was telling the people to do it, and everybody in his cabinet part, they were all agreeing until we got the backlash.
Yes.
Then you went, oops. I think I made a mistake.
I think oops was maybe a conservative way of looking at it.
Yes.
But we are on the radio, yes, I take your point, Raymond, yeah.
So, what actually happened there was he's approved again.
Yes.
But everybody's joined in, they oh, this sounds like a good idea, let's tell the population.
Uh huh.
Because we're in charge, so they've got to listen to what we tell them, obviously.
Yes.
But the point is about that. Now, don't get this wrong.
Yes.
I think he was totally wrong, and the rest of the government were totally wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can blame him for that woman that settled herself. By mistake, by the way.
Yes. Okay, listen, Raymond, the other thing I'm not going into is, at the time they did the fuel thing, they were also putting the VAT up in the hot braddies and hot pasties. Pasties, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, see, the point was there is, what is the major? Go and stock up fuel, so therefore you could go and heat your own pies and brownies.
Thank you, Raymond.
Saving money, wouldn't it?
Oh, don't say that, man. Somebody will go and do it. Raymond, well, once again, mate, thanks for phoning the talk, and you take it easy, man.
No, it's all good.
Ta-da. Evelyn, sorry, my dear. It's taken us a while, but we finally got you. How are you?
I've nearly forgotten what I was going to speak about.
Have you? Well, make it up.
Right. It's a Western Pitiful Route.
Okay.
Right. Road Sense, if they did get the, from the Ginkle London, if they did get it voted for them,
yes,
and if it goes in their favour, have they got a plan? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, well, as far as I'm led to believe, they're nae against the Western Peripheral Route, they're against the route that it's actually taken. Now, if they got another plan for the route, if they actually get clearance for London.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they've got an alternative route or if they feel that the whole route should be changed. I don't know. I would assume they would have some form of plan, would they?
Well, I would think so, because, I mean, it's cost as much money just now, up until now. If they hadn't got a plan...
If they ain't got a plan, we're in trouble.
Yeah, we are. It's back to square one.
Well, that's it. But, I mean, the thing that would maybe concern me there is if they have a plan and if the plan is instigated, it's going to cost more money to readjust everything and the budgets are going to change. And it's already cost a considerable amount of money for nothing to happen.
That's right.
You know?
They must have a plan. They must...
Well, it you know, I would welcome them, you know, on the talk end to say what their alternative thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if this does go, you know, and if they do raise the money to go there, then they're going to be in a situation whereby, I mean, we could be waiting for years, because the last case was drawn forward because of the urgency of the matter. But I wonder if the Court of Session in London will be, you know, as pliable as the Scottish courts.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it's terrible.
Sorry, it's the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, sorry. Well, unfortunately, the law of the land states that the Supreme Court in London is the next, you know, the next court that they can apply to and go to. So from that point of view, that has to be the court they move to, and it is based in London. But again, the arguments will still be based on the situation as it is put, and the facts that are available for the Aberdeen situation, you know, for Aberdeen. It's not a case of a new case, it's just a continuance of the current case, only heard in, you know, in London. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Evelyn. Sorry to keep
so long.
Bye. Bye. Hi, Graham. How are you?
Hi, Tommy. Nice to hear from you again.
Well, I survived Blackpool.
Right, AWPR, just going on with what Evelyn was saying.
Uh-huh.
I believe I read in the Evening Express that one of the councillors or MPs or whoever had said that there was no alternative route. The route that had been planned was the one that was going to be used, and that was, you know, end of story.
Okay.
The thing I dislike about RoadSense is them being able to get this capped spending as far as our legal expenses goes.
Well, that was on the second appeal, would I be right?
Possibly aye.
I think that was a dispensation they were given, but there's no saying that dispensation will be given this time.
No, I think, are they trying to raise £100,000 or something?
Well, what we have here is, it's understood the campaigners group is asking for £2,500 from each of its 40 members, and Grant, being a whiz kid in mathematics, is going to tell you how much that is. Maybe he's not a whiz kid in mathematics. That's a lot of money. Okay, so each of the members is being asked to give £2,500.
Uh-huh.
And that money would pay to take their case to the Supreme Court in London. So that's the sort of money they need to raise for that. But again...
I thought they were still looking to... The chap was still looking to get the legal costs capped. Obviously, if it ran over the sort of £100,000, he'd be looking for, you know, that to be done.
I can bow down to your knowledge. I'm not sure. I know that they got their last appeal. I'm sure that was capped.
Aye,
yes.
That's right.
And so what you're suggesting is they're looking to get this one capped as well.
I think so. From what I read in the Evening Express, it sounded as if the chap, is it Walton, wanted to get that done.
Okay. I think there is genuine and obvious concerns in the fact that, you know, if they go to the Supreme Court in London, I mean, the cost could be quite considerable, couldn't
they?
Aye. You know, because lawyers are not cheap.
No.
You know?
What I was going to say is, if they lost that appeal, the Supreme Court appeal, they could still go to the European Parliament, couldn't they?
Yes. I believe that is the next port of call.
So when I have lasted for a while.
Oh, you have little faith. Well, Graham, I mean, everyone's got the right, as I keep saying.
Oh, quite right.
Everyone has got the right to follow their beliefs, and that is a lot to do with the makeup of the country. And if they feel that the Supreme Court in London is not satisfying what they want to put forward, and they feel they want to take it further, obviously, if they have the finances to do that, or if they can get the financial backing,
good luck to them.
They're entitled to do it. That's the law of the land. Aye. However, there is the other side of it as well, which many people have expressed opinion on the talking. Not to worry. Graham, thanks for taking the time to phone.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. Cheers, man.
Bye.
Okay, after the break, we come back and we look at one of the other issues that's happened in the area, that of the gas explosion, which is out in the middle of the North Sea.
The North Sound 2 Talking. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland.
Good morning. Welcome to Talking. We've got a wee while to go before Bill Torrance takes over at midday. 01224 401035 is the number on the phones. Once again, the text situation is 61025. prefix your text message with Cammy, spelled C-A-M-M-Y, and Cammy@nawsound2.com. And you can tweet us on Twitter, and it's Cammy1035 on that side of things. Now, as this discussion's been going on the phones, Gary, you've been sending us some more texts coming in.
We've got a few. It's been quite quiet in the text today, actually. A few texts. We'll do them in a second, though. Lisa made a good point about the fuel thing.
Mm-hmm.
The union have to give 7 days' notice.
That's right, yeah. So of a strike.
If they give the notice tomorrow, which nobody's saying they will,
no.
That means there's 7 days of still normal fuel deliveries. But if we panic buy tomorrow, there might not be any fuel by the time they go on strike, which is just bizarre. It's just crazy. Why panic buy a week in advance? Surely panic buy the day of the strike.
You know something? It's... The more you go on about it, and the more you think about it,
the more crazy it seems.
It is, you know, and it's just a case of just calm down, you know, settle, breathe.
And
we've got 7 days before they actually,
which we'll probably just confirm isn't actually going to happen yet.
No, there is no. But we have a 7 day gap which has to be adhered to, and then the organisation of the thing, so there will be warning, and then things are put in place.
By the way, just to get this out there, the average tanker driver salary is between 45 and 48,000 a year. So that's possibly some of the reasons they're going to strike. They've got some power with these guys.
Heaven's sakes! That's a lot of money.
Double an ordinary truck driver's salary, obviously because of the risk involved.
Well, but yes, but I mean, they have a different type of cargo. I would accept that. But hey, if that's what the salary is, that's what the salary is.
And one final text. Joyce and Bridge of Dawn, this is back to the WPR, the Western Peripheral Route. When will the WPR be completed if the go-ahead is given?
I have absolutely no idea. Years?
That was what I was going to say.
Must be years. Don't know. I haven't a clue in that one. Just before we go, somebody's going to phone up and tell us that, you know. Somebody will. On Monday, we heard the more than 230 people have been evacuated from a gas platform in the North Sea after a major gas leak. Total removed all workers from the installation on the Elgin field, 150 miles off the coast of Aberdeen. Their swift action has been commended. 19 crew members had originally remained, but were quickly flown off as well, indicating that all firm were dealing with a very serious situation. The platform has been unmanned and powered down. The nearby Rowan Viking drilling rig has been evacuated. But Jake Malloy from the RMT union said it appeared to be a dangerous situation.
The guy said it was very rapid. As soon as they were on board and the doors were closed, they were taking off, which suggests a real urgency, and that's probably down to the threat of that gas. If you have a gaseous atmosphere, then you shouldn't be putting helicopters into it, because helicopters could create a spark which could ignite the gas.
Then David Hainsworth, the Safety and Health and Environmental Manager for Total, spoke to North Sound. He didn't speak to North Sound.
No, he did, but we don't have time for him.
We
don't have time to hear him all.
So, can we carry him on next week?
We can carry him on next
week.
Okay,
point of this is, it just shows that whilst we talk about the oil industry and the way things oil are, and nowadays it seems to be that we have the ability to to glean oil from wells which maybe 5-10 years ago were extinct. We have the technology to take the oil out. A case in point is maybe the technology to cap the gas and cap the oil isn't maybe just there. Now, this situation, Total rightly have been commended for the fact that they got the evacuation done, and it was done in speedy time, and everything was safe, and there was no damage because there was an alert situation and there was an awareness situation going, and they should be commended for that. However, once again, it just shows the oil industry is the oil industry, and it is still a dangerous area to be in, and safety has to be done. And once again, it takes you to the situation where safety is always the number one thing. Now, by the time we come back on the talk end next week, probably, this will have cured, and there will have been a cure for it. I know that the flare has extinguished, and there is an awareness of where the leak is coming from. So hopefully, by the time we come back on the talk end next Sunday, we will be able to report that this situation is well underway. As far as anything else is concerned, RoadSense. Well, RoadSense are taking their case, they hope, down to London so that they can put their case towards the Supreme Court in London. It looks as if the buses are likely to strike. We've had nothing from the drivers and nothing from the people who are going to suffer, but it looks as if that situation might continue, although negotiations at ACAS to resolve the dispute seem to be going ahead. Until next week on The Talkin', from Elisa through the phones, from Gary, who is doing the text, myself, Cammy, thank you very much for giving us a call. We'll catch up with you next week. And there's me getting on to Elisa about getting names wrong. Who's Gary? It's Grant, for goodness sake, Campbell. Go and take a tablet.